From the Director Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report providing an update on the study group activities regarding the possible transfer of management of inmate mental health and health care services to DHHS. This also went to the Committee on Judiciary, Safety, and General Services, who took no action on this item at their meeting.
Okay, and this is an informational report. We've been joined by the table by our favorite inspector from the Sheriff's Department, Inspector Schmidt. So who's gonna lead us off here? Director Colon.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'll give you a brief overview of the report. The Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Sheriff's Office, DAS, and County Board staff, in addition to the medical monitor, have been meeting over the last several months per the plan we outlined in the January report. We've been going through a process of discovery and due diligence, including the review of data, staffing patterns, and accreditation standards. The data indicated that there's approximately 33,000 inmates, 50% of which have some type of medical or mental health need. We took in-depth tours of the downtown facility and south facilities. That was a very good meeting and opportunity to meet some staff and actually see the different facilities. We've also researched Dallas County, King County, and San Francisco County. Those were counties that were referred to us by Dr. Shansky. They had a transition from their inmate medical services over to a health department. One common characteristic among the three counties and distinct from Milwaukee County was that they had well-developed medical and health service programs within those respective counties. Their average annual budget was $27 million, while in Milwaukee counties it's $17 million. Our research of these models drew a few common themes. One was that most of them added resources when the health departments took over. Two, a positive, collaborative, collegial relationship is very necessary between the health department and the sheriff's department. And also that it must be recognized that two departments have different missions and philosophies. The medical department dedicated to caring for patients, and the sheriff's office dedicated to managing prisoners. So that mutual respect and the understanding is really necessary to move forward. Earlier on, the sheriff's office indicated that they were interested in issuing out an RFP. They have let us know that they are not interested in pursuing that. Some administrative and fiscal management issues arose at their last meeting to include human resource issues, contracts, equipment, and the potential need for some additional positions and also unfunded positions. The division administrator, we found out, is unfunded currently, so we want to make sure that that position will be funded before a full transition were to take place. So we're meeting with DAS on this, have been meeting with them, we'll continue to meet with them over the next month or two on this. The timeline of July 1 that was set forth by the county board remains to be the goal. However, some additional time might be needed to address the following. The recruitment and filling of key leadership positions is necessary. The division administrator in particular, Ms. Luzzi, put together a job description for that, so we're working with the sheriff's office to move forward to try to recruit somebody for the division administrator. That position is key to have filled before a full transition were to take place. In addition to that, there's a chief psychiatrist position and the chief medical director that would also need to be filled. Department and the sheriff's office are going to be working with DAS to discuss a plan for transition at the administrative functions, and the plan must address current as well as future resource and budget needs, and there should be agreement among the department and also the sheriff's office before a transfer were to occur. A memorandum of agreement should be in place to avoid any miscommunication. Clear lines of responsibility and authority needs to be established. Dr. Shansky provided us with an example of another county. We'll be working on a draft and present that to the sheriff's and his staff at our next meeting that we have coming up at the end of this month. But that memorandum of understanding should be in place before a full transition takes place. Lastly, and not included in this report, we just had a meeting with Dr. Shansky over the phone and went over these issues, and he asked us to consider one other additional item, and that is that he wanted us to research the Department of Corrections. They have a psychologist model, and a good model, that's a good model in terms of how they treat people with mental illness in the prisons, and he wanted us to learn from that model and possibly adopt that model within the inmate medical unit, which might require some additional resources. So we'll be researching that and then presenting the board with some information on that during our next report. So Ms. Luzzi or Inspector Schmidt, if you have anything else to add.
I would again say that this is an issue where we really felt very, very compelled to make careful due diligence, because this is, again, a very vulnerable population, and we want to not have any missteps here. So we're working very carefully and at due speed.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, again, Inspector Rich Schmidt, and see some new faces here. Congratulations. In addressing this, we've been keeping a positive attitude towards our relationship, which is good. A couple of issues that were brought up, I don't disagree with anything that was said. What now becomes critical is we're entering into a rather short time frame between now and July 1st. There is no plan literally in place at this point. We're looking at a key word that was used several times was additional resources in order to make this work for DHHS. That poses obviously a challenge for the county board as to what can and can't be done. The other issue, which is very time sensitive, is the sheriff's office has the funding literally is transferred to somewhere else as of July 1st. So next month will be critical for our agency as to will funding be placed back in the sheriff's office if indeed the plan can't be finalized by then. And then there are other challenges which were mentioned. So we, of course, do intend to work cooperatively with whatever the board finally determines will be the final plan, but there are very significant fiscal issues that are being brought to the table. How is that going to be taken care of? Is that going to be out of the sheriff's budget? Is it going to be specifically put into DHHS if that plan is approved? So these are things that we'll have to be wrestled with over the next 30 days. Thank you.
And I know that Director Colon has begun at least to look at those issues.
Yes.
Okay. Supervisor Tranfilippo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So did we not allocate enough funds in the budget then to cover the program, or is it going to end up costing us more by transferring it over? And do we have estimates on what that shortage is?
Sure. We'll be looking at that over this next month and meeting with the Sheriff's Office and DAS. But based on our research, other counties have put more resources to provide the inmates with proper medical and mental health care. And based on that research, we may need some additional resources to make sure we're providing adequate care to people with mental illness. And if the consent decree, that would be our ultimate goal. So there may be some additional resources needed in order to accomplish that and provide better care to inmates.
So were we violating the dissent decree when the Sheriff's Department was providing the care themselves?
Yes.
Yes.
It's been violations. Okay.
How long? 12 years or?
Madam Chair, I'd like to address that because I will disagree with that. We're violating the consent decree. There's been nothing written by Dr. Shansky as far as violation goes. What the issue is there's a couple of key positions which were outlined that Dr. Shansky would like to see there. Quite frankly, we have more staffing than the consent decree calls for. The issue has become with our medical monitor, he is making different suggestions as how to enhance the program. but technically we have not violated the consent decree. We are definitely in line with that. The only issue that we are not meeting right now is the medical director, which is not part of it. The other positions, basically over the last 10 plus years, have been things that Dr. Shansky, who is, and for those that may not be familiar with the consent decree, Dr. Shansky works, he's the mid person, if you will, between the sheriff's office and the legal aid and ACLU, who are the individuals that sued the county years back. So he does the negotiating, if you will, and puts down the plan. So there's nothing on writing, on record, and I deal with Dr. Shansky on a continual basis. There are enhancements. There's many, many changes that Dr. Shansky has put in place that are not codified, quite frankly, that deal with the Christensen consent decree, which makes it, of course, somewhat difficult for the new group as well to try and meet those things. So that's the best explanation I can give at this point.
We ended up in this situation because the subcontractor that the sheriff had put in his 2012 budget, if we had gone with that provider, we would not be meeting the dissent decree, according to Dr. Shansky. And so Dr. Shansky is our medical monitor. He's the person that we go through to make sure that we're in line and we're where we should be.
Understandable. But I guess my question is, if we were adequately providing the medical care before, mm-hmm. and this whole thing came up because we talked about going to outsourcing this care, which was going to have people who are actually specialized in this care performing it. And then all of a sudden the board did a reversal and said, no, we're going to provide this ourselves. Now we're going to end up doing the same thing we were doing before, just having one department provide the care other than another department, but we're going to be spending more money at it. And so it kind of seems like we're going in the wrong direction here.
Okay. I'll let Director Cremon address that.
Sure. Madam Chair, Supervisor Sanfilippo, I just want to say that they've been in this consent decree, I don't know, for the last 12 years. It hasn't been lifted. So our plan would be to lift it, and that would give the medical monitor the comfort in saying, okay, we're providing that care for medical inmates, and that would be lifted. So that hasn't been lifted for the last 10 years. It would be our intent to lift that, and in order to do that, it may require better services for people with mental illness in the jails.
Okay, I think it's just important for you to try to get those cost estimates, put together as soon as possible, because, the sheriff doesn't have anything in his budget. You're not flush in your budget either, for that matter. So, if we need to start, turning the couch cushions looking for change, right, we need to know that, sooner rather than later.
Yep. We're working on this. We hope that we can get you some information in the May, in the next board report. So we'll be working on this very diligently and get you that information.
Thank you.
The other thing I do think that's worth noting for the new, especially for the new faces at the table, is that during the discussion regarding this change during the budget, the sheriff was very open and very honest about the fact that this is not his expertise, that he has, done this to the letter of the law, and not by any means has done this to, today's standards in regards to mental health specifically, or in regards to the medical aspect of it. It was something that he was, looking for assistance for, and we just want to make sure that it, got done. But you're correct, we did not envision it perhaps being as, definitely not as time-consuming and not as costly as it may end up being. So Supervisor Stumper had a question, and then Supervisor Bowen.
Madam Chair, that was in relation to the change that Supervisor Sanfilippo was talking about. Was there enough funding before the change with the former provider?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, yes.
Okay. So now there is.
Mm-hmm.
I think as Director Cologne mentions, our approach would be to try and lift the dissent decree, and also as Supervisor as Director Cologne mentioned, there are different standards and different philosophies involved here, and so that as a medical group coming forth, we would come forth with our definition of quality and excellence, and not to say that the Sheriff's Department has been providing adequate care, and as the Sheriff himself has admitted, that's not his expertise. And so our definition of what adequate care in the Sheriff's Department may be different.
Supervisor Stumper, do you have anything further?
No, thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we describe how many positions are funded that pertain to inmate health services right now in your current budget?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, there's about 110 funded positions. This includes everything from medical director, several doctors, psychiatrists, registered nurses, nurse practitioners, licensed practical nurses, nurses' aides or medical assistants, as well as some clerical staff involved.
Medical records, yeah.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen, do you have anything else?
I don't know if they can answer this question, but basically we'd be taking those funds and contracting that out.
That was what was presented in the 2012 budget for the sheriff, yes. And it actually wasn't 110 positions. It was less positions than that.
Madam Chair, there. I believe the total number of the staffing plan is, and I'm not going to contest what you say. It's something we're in 110. I'm not saying all those positions are currently filled.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you.
Anything further? All right, Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just so I can get this straight, we have a situation here where there is a outside group organization saying that we're not doing something correctly. And now we're taking the steps necessary to correct it, kind of similar to HUD telling us we've been doing things wrong for years,
right,
and we got to correct it. So that's
right,
basically what we're talking about.
Right. And let me see if I can, in about 2000, Milwaukee County was sued by an inmate in the Milwaukee County Jail and stated that they had not, they had sat too long and there was a whole bunch of different stipulations. They didn't have access to medical and just a wide variety of things. It's called the Christensen Dissent Decree. And so since 2000, we have been under this medical monitor and other types of monitoring to make sure that the jail, the House of Correction, continue to run up to par and are providing properly for the needs of our inmates. And so this falls under that category. And so it's being monitored by outside legal agencies and other. So basically what we'd like to do, which is what we'd like to do with HUD, is eventually get to the point where they say, Milwaukee County, beautiful job. You guys are done. We're not going to bother you anymore. So we've been working on that for 12 years. And so we'd really like to be done.
Madam Chair, I know that in my 4 years as an alderman in Franklin, I've received a number of letters from inmates,
yeah,
you know, that have complained about certain things, conditions. Knowing that's not a city issue,
right,
I've always just made sure the alderman of the district, which is not me, would get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you want me to do?
Yes.
You know, this is a county matter.
Right.
And so I, you know, whether they are just have a gripe or they're not mentally stable, I don't know. I mean,
right,
I don't remember the details. Like I said, I don't have those letters anymore, but all right, that's what I needed. Thank you.
Okay. And again, I would encourage you to hook up with Inspector Schmidt and get a tour out at the House of Correction and see exactly what we're talking about. I know it was very eye-opening for Director Cologne and Miss Lucy when they did it. And so this is something that will be of the utmost importance for next cycle. So if you have questions developed, by all means, talk to the people at the table.
If I could, Madam Chair,
yes.
I think so no one's too nervous, I think that the resource issues that we're talking about, the issues that we're talking about with DAS, primarily relate to the future, and so that as things evolve, how will we be able to budget for the future in a situation where we're providing, we're basically a contractor to the sheriff, and so that's one of the bigger issues. I think the issues in terms of immediate issues primarily relate, in my opinion today, primarily relate to medications and the formulary.
And it should be noted that we are currently, BHD is currently using a different provider for their medication than the sheriff's department is. Aren't you? Are you the same?
We're using the same vendor.
Okay.
But different
vendor.
Formularies.
Okay. All right. Supervisor Bowen?
Yeah, I just want to get one thing clear. So the numbers that we're talking about from the Department of Health side is more, but we don't know that exact number than what the current sheriff's department has been running on to support those services.
I think, Supervisor, our concern is that we want to be clear about what's the procedure for that with the Department of Administrative Services. And as we continue to move forward and as we've talked about positions that were unfunded that we believe need to be funded and we you know, have some concerns about, as I said, the formulary. So as we think about those changes that we need to think, that we think need to be made, how will that be funded and how will that be managed through the Department of Administrative Services, where you have two departments, both, as the Supervisor Sanfilippo points out, with streamlined budgets, and how do you manage that? That's a big discussion.
Right. So at the next committee meeting, can we expect those numbers to come forth between the difference of those plans?
I would think that by the next meeting we'd be able to do at least report on our discussions with DAS.
And the money lady joins us. This is Alex, BHD, DHHS money lady. So you have obviously have something to add to this conversation.
She has a real title even.
Yeah. I'm Alex Pitsa. I'm the DHHS budget manager, or I guess money lady. just to clarify, the way the budget is structured for 2012 is half of the charges are in the sheriff's department budget, half of them are in the Department of Health and Human Services budget, with a cross charge back to the sheriff's department. So the sheriff's department holds all of the tax levy that funds this. And right now in our meetings, we're not anticipating necessarily change for 2012, but we are discussing how we move forward in 2013 with putting that budget together. And we've met with the Office of the Sheriff and the Department of Administrative Services to try and work out the fiscal side of it.
All right. So just to clarify, we do not have a money issue as it pertains to being funded, these services being funded. Our money issue comes from the fact that we have a half-and-half deal going on right now, so we need to develop an MOA or an MOU with the sheriff in order to be able to get the cross charges back for the services that we will be providing as of July 1st. All right. Supervisor Mayo,
question, no.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, and Supervisor, one of you guys have your hands up?
No,
okay. Supervisor Mayo, you're fine? Supervisor Sanfilippo.
I mean, we could have a money issue if DHHS says they need more than what's in the sheriff's budget, because, you know, the end of the, what the main story is, the sheriff only has X amount of dollars to work with, and if you guys say, gee, we can't do it for that, we need more,
right,
something's got to give. Correct. Sheriff doesn't have room to give. You don't have room to give. And I guess the whole reason, my point for bringing this all up is that, you know, the sheriff obviously proposed to outsource these services. The county board, you know, came in and said, no, put a stop to that. And I just think it puts us in the box when we summarily reject ideas without, you know, wanting to be open to consideration, because now at the end what could end up with is, and the sheriff, as you mentioned, rightfully points out, they're not medical experts, so they shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, all they have to see that the services are provided. They don't have to provide them. So rather than closing the door as quickly as the board did on looking at the outsourcing issue, when all is said and done, we could end up providing the same service with a different county department and spending more money than we were before because we refuse to even consider the outsourcing option. And so the board puts itself in a box when it summarily rejects ideas and is unwilling to consider all options.
Just for the record, we absolutely did not do that. So in the resolution that started these conversations, outsourcing is 100% still in the picture. So at the end of these discussions, if Director Cologne and Ms. Lucy and Inspector Schmidt come up with, you know, find out that it is too expensive for Milwaukee County to do, we absolutely can still outsource and have a plan for that in the 2013 budget. That's not the road that we're traveling right now, but it is still an option. So we did not summarily just take anything off of the plate. It's all still there. But this is, again, and by June cycle, we should have a better idea as to whether or not this can be and should be done. What we did as a board is we said the plan that was submitted for outsourcing by the sheriff was inadequate. It would not get us to the point where we would like to be, which is dissent decree free. And so we asked that the department take a look at whether or not they could do it, and we could do it with an MOU versus outsourcing it. But that has not been taken off the table, and I can get you a copy of the resolution that started these conversations if anybody at the table is interested. I'm going to go with Director Cologne and Supervisor Mayo.
Madam Chair and Supervisor Sanfilippo, just very quickly, I wanted to mention that the previous private vendor that was selected, the medical monitor indicated that their staffing levels was inadequate, and that was what really drove the decision of the county board not wanting to select them as an appropriate vendor. So I just wanted to add that clarification.
Thank you, and I do appreciate that. Supervisor
Mayo. Thank you, Madam Chair. Your comments, Mr. Cologne's comments are really welcome, because when my colleague made that false statement, and there was concerns about the vendor, and that's just why I did not support that. I have no problem looking at other ways that we can provide good service, but that vendor had a lot of issues, and that's just why I didn't support that initiative. If there's other initiatives that come in front of Milwaukee County, I will try to support it. But personally, I don't support outsourcing any of our jobs anyway, so I'll be honest about that. But I also look at how to go down and look at the different things. But if there's ways of saving money, I have been always at the table saying, let's look at it. So when you make your comment, Supervisor, Madam Chair, I'm talking to you.
Okay.
Through you to the supervisor.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Make sure that we have all the accurate statements, because we are trying to make sure that we do certain things. And when people talk about supporting the department head, and Inspector Smith can look at when we're looking at a number of issues with the sheriff's department, I have supported many of the initiatives that a number of my colleagues do not support. But this one, when we have a decree in front of us and we have a vendor that's not living to the standards, I have a concern, and that's why I didn't support it.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo. Supervisor Stemper.
No, yes, thank you, Madam Chair. What time frame are we looking at? 2012 is now, with some like inadequate staffing. Then you have 2013 along the corner, so we have to do the budget. The outsourcing comparison to the county comparison is what we will need, right, before that time comes. Mr. Cologne?
Yeah, that's correct. At our next board report, we can provide you with more guidance on if there's a need for additional time for us to take over, and based on the things that we spoke about today, the need to hire the division administrator, the MOU, and the agreement with DASH before we need to move forward. So those things we feel need to be done before July 1, and we can give you an estimate based on if we need some additional months. And then in terms of options, I mean, we could lay that out. since the county board is open to the options. It was just that that previous vendor did not have the staffing levels that was adequate to lift the consent decree. And again, that came from Dr. Shansky. But Dr. Shansky has said that if a private vendor were to come in that he would feel comfortable with, that had the appropriate staffing levels, that could be an option. But as of this point, I guess that hasn't, a private vendor hasn't come in with the appropriate staffing levels to make Dr. Shansky feel comfortable moving forward.
Who does Dr. Shansky work for?
Madam Chair.
Is his own entity, or who's he work for?
Inspector Schmidt, you can answer the question.
Yes, Madam Chair, Supervisor. Dr. Shansky was appointed by the court, so he's a court monitor. Mm-hmm. So he technically, the sheriff's office budget pays for him, but he technically is not necessarily in agreement with us, but we have the bill to pay for him.
Okay.
All right. Okay, right. Supervisor Demper, do you have more?
No, thank you.
All right, Supervisor Taylor, and then Supervisor Sample.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just regarding the outsourcing, I can see if the vendor is not qualified, there's a reason to reject it. But to reject outsourcing altogether, I would not be in favor of, because at the end of the day, this is taxpayer dollars, whether they're working for the county or we're outsourcing some other company. And that's what we have to remember. What we're doing here is we're also got to be in, protect the taxpayers and what the costs are involved. So, I'll look at outsourcing if we could find a good vendor, but I don't think we should be dismissing it just because that's what we've always done.
The key here is quality of service. Who has quality of service? And if the county has quality of service, I don't see why we shouldn't look at them first.
Thank you, Supervisor Stemper. Thank you, Supervisor Taylor. Supervisor Sanfilippo, and then Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like Director Colon to clarify. He said no outside provider has stepped forward and offered to provide the care, and I was wondering when we issued reissued another RFP seeking to have an outside vendor come in and do these services, because I don't recall hearing that one was issued without any response. Yeah, but we are moving forward with hiring directors and going in the direction of providing the services ourselves. Once we hire the director and hire all the personnel, you know as well as I do, we're not going to turn around and then try to outsource it. So if we're seriously, if outsourcing is an option, then we should be considering it in parallel with considering providing the services ourselves. And so I'm wondering if that's being done.
Director
Cohen. Sure. Based on the last several meetings we've had with the committee, I think we all pretty much felt that the county board was not interested in outsourcing. I think it really was a result of this previous vendor that came forth and did not have the appropriate staffing levels to meet the requirements. But I think it, it appears that remains an option, and we would certainly cooperate if that remains an option. But I think the medical monitor is the one that would play a heavy role in the selection and determination if the staffing levels within that new private vendor would be adequate for him.
Well, I guess I'm confused, Madam Chair, because you just said that outsourcing is still an option, and then I was accused of making false statements by one of our other protégés here, but now I'm being told that outsourcing isn't being considered because they think that the county board really doesn't want it. So which way is it? Either outsourcing is still an option, and if it is, what are we doing to compare the outsourcing costs with providing the services ourselves? Or if outsourcing isn't an option, then let's just come clean and say it's off the table, as I suspect that it is based on the actions we took last year.
Supervisor Schmidt, or Inspector Schmidt, I'm sorry.
Thank you for the promotion.
Yeah. I don't think
you'd
like to pay.
Not that you want it, probably.
Chair and supervisors, I carefully listened to everything that was said, and I will make this statement at this point. The sheriff by no means is going to allow this issue to drop off the table and accept a proposal that we don't feel is adequate or timely. Therefore, and I'll just state this at this point, no option is off of our table at this point. We've not agreed to anything. We've not been submitted a plan that we know is going to work. And if this means we have to look at another venue in order to make this work, that will happen. And, of course, we'll come to the committee as for your consideration. So at least at this point, we've taken nothing off the table.
And for the sake of the conversation, Inspector Schmidt, we can be honest and say that the sheriff did have an RF, does have an RFP prepared and was prepared to send it, however, decided that he would continue along this road and have these conversations with DHHS prior to releasing another RFP. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. Supervisor Mayo?
Yes, I want to make sure people understand where I stand. Since I'm a colleague talking about taxpayer dollars, why don't you look at my vote and look at my history? I'm a very good steward, and I don't waste taxpayer dollars when it comes to anything within Milwaukee County. When I decide, well, when I say I'm not in favor outsourcing, I'm looking at the quality of service, the people you have there, and when you have concerns about bringing any other vendor in Milwaukee County, it's not going to provide the same service to our constituents or anyone, even the people who are in prison. They are still our constituents. They might not be able to vote for it, but we still have to give them with decency. That's where I have where I draw the line. Thank you.
Sure. Again, every single one of the supervisors have raised very valid issues, and as was just expressed again, by no means am I slighting any of the particular things that have been put forward, and I certainly agree that, and the sheriff agrees that we want adequate, proper medical and mental health services provided. That is a key issue here, which is why we're putting this on the table in the first place. We want appropriate, proper medical and mental health. So I echo what was just stated. That is the goal.
Thank you. Supervisor Bowen.
The last vendor that Supervisor Mayo refers to with concerns, was this the same provider that was in effect or had the outlet, was implementing at the time of the lawsuit?
No, the sheriff has been responsible for, Milwaukee County has been responsible for inmate medical / mental health. In 2012, it was a new initiative to have someone else come in and do this.
Right. So we were looking at their RFP when that went out, and we had concerns with that. Gotcha.
Okay. Is there any other comments, questions, concerns from committee? We had a really good conversation here this morning. I know Barbara Beckert would like to come up and discuss this particular item.
Thank you, Chairwoman West and members of the committee. Barbara Becker with Disability Rights Wisconsin. I just wanted to say a few words about this topic. As an advocate for people with disabilities and mental illness, I just want to make clear that, you know, that you're all aware, because I know there are newer supervisors on here, how serious the issues that have been ongoing at the jail and the House of Correction are in regard to the access that inmates should be entitled to for appropriate medical and mental health care, and the cases that we have been involved with where individuals are not getting access to medication. There are long delays in getting access to medication when it does occur because the formulary is different. It's not the medication that, you know, enables them to maintain their health and also to, you know, be calmer and better behaved, which is to everyone's advantage. You know, I think Dr. Shansky, the medical monitor, has raised a lot of serious concerns, and I just wanted to briefly read to you from the letter that he sent last summer, which has been referred to. As you're well aware, jail medical and mental health programs have within the past year suffered critical leadership losses and staff turnover. Morale has seriously deteriorated. Recently, I met with a room full of individuals from community organizations whose work includes assisting detainees to obtain services. During this meeting, their descriptions of avoidable negative outcomes suffered by detainees raises serious concerns regarding the program's ability to meet its constitutional obligation to adequately address serious medical needs. As you're also aware, I met with a private vendor who proposed to take over the healthcare program. Their staffing plan and description of how the new dramatically reduced staffing would provide services was so unacceptable as to greatly increase likelihood that the program would undergo further deterioration. I know we have newer people on the board and not everyone was on the finance committee. I thought it was important that you all had the specifics that, you know, we were dealing with very serious concerns here. I'm not one who unilaterally supports outsourcing. What my concern about is having quality and adequate services. But this proposal was completely unacceptable, and I have to say from what I've heard talking with colleagues nationally that in the area of correctional services and medical and mental health, that there haven't overall been great positive outcomes when these services are outsourced. You know, as I said, I'm not someone who unilaterally comes in and says I'm opposed to outsourcing, but I would proceed with caution in this area. So thank you for an opportunity to share this history and concerns with you.
Okay. Ms. Becker, sit tight. Supervisor Taylor and then Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make it clear, quality of service is the most important.
Right.
I want to just make that clear. However, if we have us and outsourcing, and the quality is the same, okay, and we can that can be proven that it's going to be the same based on everything we're being told, and one's cheaper than the other. I'm not saying which is cheaper, mm-hmm. I'm going to take the one that costs less, as simple as that. And that means if that's outsourcing, that's what we're going to do. That's what I think we ought to do. So I just want to make it clear that, you know, it's not just about the bottom dollar. You also want to have the quality of service. Okay, but at the end of the day, tax dollars.
Thank you, Supervisor Stafford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How do you feel about the current service right now? Like, we went over there today.
Well, there are still critical staff vacancies, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, the absence of a medical director, and I believe there are also psychiatric positions that are missing. So it's very difficult to provide adequate service when you have key leadership personnel positions that are vacant. Okay. We continue to hear the same kind of concerns from individuals in the community who have a family member in the system and is not able to get access to medication and is treated in a way that doesn't take into account the fact that they have a serious and persistent mental illness that's contributing to their behaviors.
And how long have we had these missing positions? You know?
Well, at the time that Dr. Shansky wrote this letter, this was August 30th, 2011, and he was talking about the turnover at that time, but I would defer to staff from the Sheriff's Department. They would have more of the expertise to give you the specific timeline as to, you know, some of the turnover that's occurred and the vacancies in some of the key leadership positions.
Supervisor Stemper, would you like to hear from Inspector Schmidt?
Sure, I would like to hear his view.
All right. Inspector Schmidt.
Thank you.
Key medical openings in your department.
Yes. Again, we, Madam Chair, Supervisor, there's no doubt that we have a couple of the upper top positions that we want filled. One thing I do have to say, though, is to be very cautious about getting anecdotal information versus factual data. The concept of not getting medications in time and so forth and what the community states. If there is any issue whatsoever of an inmate that is alleged to have not gotten medications and we're informed about it, it's an immediate fix. We call our medical people, have it evaluated and so forth. The only thing I'll say about Dr. Shansky's letter is it's anecdotal. There is no factual data presented in that letter. The fact that we don't disagree with moving the inmate medical and mental health to those who are experts in that area, we totally support that. However, when anecdotal information is given without data, without people, without names, without times and places, that's anecdotal information, and I would take that with a serious grain of salt. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Semper, are you?
His anecdotal information is not, what is it based off then? It's not based off observation or facts?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Ms. Becker, for your testimony. For Inspector Schmidt, was the Sheriff's Department supportive of the private vendors RFP?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, yes, we were in favor of it. We submitted it in our budget proposal, and then Dr. Shansky was opposed to that particular staffing plan, wrote the letter that was just mentioned, and the end result was it was not accepted.
Okay, Supervisor Bowen, you have the floor.
I just wanted to mention that that the health of inmates is very important. They are human beings, and we need to make sure that they have quality access to quality services as well. So to have an RFP that purposefully decreases that quality, we're talking about the difference between quality and cost. In this case, you have to pay for that quality, and we need to acknowledge that. If we want quality, we need to pay for it, and we need to fill have those positions to support it. So I'm definitely down with spending money the right way, making sure that every tax dollar is accounted for and doing what it's supposed to, but also making sure services are quality and investing in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Bowen. All right. We've had a lively discussion here this morning. Is there any other comments or questions from committee, from the audience? Seeing none, I want to thank you for being here. I know your time is very